Welcome, Dumbheads, to Wiki World Warriors. In this series, I'll be creating a new batch of World Warriors for the very goofy Street Fighter role-playing game from White Wolf. With each World Warrior, I'll be surveying one of the goofiest elements of character generation in that system, and I'll be calling upon a different international listener each episode to help my ignorant American ass better represent the other classier nations of the world. Each episode, armed only with their helpful guidance and cursory reference to Wikipedia, I'll attempt to give one more nation its moment in the street fighting sun. Today, that nation is... China. Yes, today we are discussing China, and this is going to be a challenging day for me for many reasons. Number one, I am a very white guy, a rare specimen. I can't give you the details or government scientists might track me down and try to dissect me, but suffice it to say, I am the hypothetical being that theorists have described as a super Caucasian. I had this little Twitter back and forth with listener Crystal Frazier some time ago about which of us was whiter. It was a tie. But for that reason, you know, I'm different degrees of comfortable talking about these different countries, different peoples, different nationalities, and China is real low on that list. Different language, different ethnicities, different literature. It's just totally out of my wheelhouse. So today is going to be a rough one. I'm going to be hitting the Wikipedia pretty hard. Although, fortunately, I've got a clever way around this. More on that as we proceed. Secondly, and I have to mention this, I'm sorry for all the preamble, but I just have to say it because it's on my mind and I got to get it out there. I am recording under the swankiest podcast circumstances I have ever experienced. I am neither at home with my wonderful podcast slaying baby, nor am I in the funky, very Portland, tiny trailer podcast studio in which I usually record. I am in a hotel room. It's my birthday today. And as a gift to myself and to you, the listener, who expected the Street Fighter podcast to start coming out eventually, I got myself a hotel room for the night, like two blocks away from my house. And so here I am, alone, except for the hum of the tiny refrigerator. In a hotel room, I'm sitting in a comfortable chair. Podcasting in a comfortable chair, I hardly recognize myself. So, like, can I muster the crankiness to talk about a dumb role-playing game? We'll find out. I may be too soft. It may be that the edge of my barbarian days will be gone, and this podcast is going to be garbage. But nothing to be done about that now. All I can do is continue drinking this delicious Krabby's. Yes, I brought Krabby's too. And soldier on and see if I can muster the vitriol for these, my podcastual duties. So let's talk about China. As always, the first thing we're going to do before we consult a listener or even Wikipedia, we're going to turn to the wellspring of all street fighting knowledge, the Street Fighter Core Rulebook, and see what it says about China. Quote, China is home to one of the oldest civilizations on Earth, and the mark of tradition can be seen everywhere. But change is also valued. This mix of ancient custom and vibrant modernity enlivens places such as Hong Kong. And you know what? Let's pass that by with hopes that that will turn out to be prescient optimism. Here's to Hong Kong. Street fighting is very popular here, especially in Hong Kong, where a movie industry avidly recruits hot street fighters. Fei Long was such a fighter, but he has recently given up his movie career to train. Here it says Fei Long was a hot street fighter. Presumably this means popular and not attractive, because Fei Long has eyebrows like a demon who is disappointed in you. He's not an attractive man. Quote, on the mainland, many hopeful trainees for the Chinese Olympics have changed their career goals and become street fighters instead, finding something more meaningful in real action than in mere arena shows. I'm sure their parents were just fucking delighted. Imagine that your little daughter, who you've been taking to train for the Olympics every day since she was like 7 years old, takes you aside just as she's supposed to try out for the Olympic team and tells you that she's going into pit fighting instead. Quote, Shadow Liu also holds sway here, and many low-level bureaucrats and officials are in Bison's pocket. Bison makes a great deal of money from such human rights abuses as forcing political prisoners to manufacture goods for sale overseas. Not sure exactly how Bison insinuates himself into that particular grift. Not really sure which part of the political prisoners, forced labor, export cheap goods pipeline M. Bison and his dictator hat and his tiny dictatorship island can help China with, but apparently there's some kind of international law that whenever you're a real dickhead, you have to get Shadaloo involved somehow. The book goes on to describe a couple of specific arenas in China, Chun-Li's village market where she fights, and Fei Long's temple. These two stages kind of represent two sides of China. Fei Long's temple is like very mystical. It's been planned with feng shui. It's got all this like chi power flowing into it. It's very ornate. There's like a constant puppet show happening in the background displaying the secrets of kung fu. And Chun-Li's stage is a street block of Chinese people who live in China. Being people, riding a bike, watching a street fight, holding a chicken, whatever, you know, like you do in China. One much more exotic image than the other, and that plays into exactly where we're going with our character today. For today's character, I'm being assisted by Bill. I have his last name. I don't know whether he wants me to share it, and there's no time to check. So he's just Bill. Thanks, just Bill. Bill is an American who lived in America until his mid-20s, but he's lived off and on in China for about 20 years. And by God, I really wanted to do China, and Bill was kind enough to help me. So what we decided to do is to create a character who, like Bill, is from the United States, but is a longtime resident of China who practices a Chinese style. Very fortunately, that is what I asked Bill for, and he knew exactly what I wanted, because this is what he sent me when I asked about, you know, what is an American like who is a longtime Chinese resident? Quote, "A guy like me is pretty dull, but there is a group of people my friends and I tend to call the China dudes. Basically, they come here to see, quote, the real China. This has nothing to do with the way 1 billion people live, but some sort of image they have of a traditional village life that is like totally spiritual, dude. That is how I'd make a character. He is more Chinese than the average Chinese person, at least in his eyes. To himself, he is a guy who came to this strange exotic land and has uncovered a deep, rich heritage which many people just don't seem to notice. He is pretty good at Chinese for someone who's been here a short time, has at least one Chinese character tattooed on himself, goes to some sort of martial arts class at least once a week, and is happiest when he is the only foreigner there. To locals, he is an odd guy who is probably an English teacher who came here to steal Chinese women. He doesn't really speak Chinese but tries, and it would be rude to tell him he's terrible, so it's best to compliment him. He never wants to go to KFC or KTV and isn't that into basketball but is always pushing meditation classes. To people like me, he is a reason to roll your eyes and prepare to listen to him talk about all the places he has been, most of which sound pretty dull but are off the beaten path. Generally best to talk about Marvel movies or baseball until he gets bored and walks away. Thank you so much, Bill, because this is exactly what I was looking for. This is not a type that I was consciously aware of, but the way you've painted it, being from where I'm from, the extremely flaky Pacific Northwest, I know exactly the kind of person you're talking about, even though I've never seen them in their Chinese context. So together, I think we can make some magic here. I'm excited about making this character. All right, first thing I need is a concept. I'm going to go with flaky American expat in China. Next up, we need a style, and naturally, that style is Kung Fu. It's going to be either Kung Fu or Wushu, and we've already got a Wushu practitioner. I do not want to step on his weirdly long toes. So Kung Fu it is. Next up, we need a name. We're looking here for like a smug, self-satisfied name for a white guy who is shamelessly appropriating Chinese culture. Let's call him Kane Cruz, after the guy from Kung Fu and Tom Last Samurai Cruz. I know that's Japan, but same general white dude bullshit. So Kane Cruz, and I think Cruz is his real last name, but his real first name is something more like Clarence, but he goes by Kane. For attributes, we are going to prioritize physical. This guy may have nothing else going for him, but he does work out, as he will emphasize all goddamn day long. We'll get to social attributes in a minute. We get these 7 dots. In the past, we've done characters who excel in dexterity or excel in stamina. So let's have him excel in strength. I think he does work out really hard. He maybe sometimes skips leg day. He maybe doesn't have quite the flexibility. So dex 3 is good, but it's not great. And stamina 3, because like his overall health is less important to him than looking very muscly and doing kung fu tricks, you know, breaking through stuff with various extremities. I'm going to make mental secondary only because I want the social to be really bad for this character. So let's give him perception 4 with the understanding that it's because he's got like big ears and is nosy. And then intelligence 2 and wits 2, so he is average in both of those categories. Then he's got 3 dots to allot for social, and I'm going to put it all in appearance. He is ripped. Did I mention he works out? But he does not understand people, so manipulation 1, and people do not like him. Charisma 1. He's a guy who, like, he has a nice ponytail, and he does condition it. But nonetheless, immediately when you see his nice ponytail, even from behind, you immediately think, what a douchebag. Let's move on now to abilities. Despite the fact that this character is not exactly an intellectual powerhouse, I'm going to put knowledges first, because I think our man Kane is a fan of all things Street Fighter and all things China. So he gets 9 points to put here. He's got 3 points in Arena because he knows all about Street Fighter arenas. He subscribes to all the magazines. He knows all the websites in English, and he can look at the pictures in the Chinese websites. He's got 3 dots of computer. I think professionally he's an IT guy. He's got mysteries 1 because of all his woo-woo bullshit. He doesn't know much about what's real, but he's heard of everything. So he knows about Yetis, Orgone Energy, chemtrails, demonic possession, etc., etc., and views all of this in a way that is considerably less skeptical than he thinks it is. Whenever he talks about any of it, he strokes his ridiculous little pointy beard and is like, I find it's best to keep an open mind about chemtrails. He has style lore too, because he does read and know a lot about different martial arts styles, which he considers to all be offshoots of true Chinese culture. So that takes care of knowledges. He's got 7 points in skills. He's got 2 dots in drive, because he can drive a stick, because he likes to go to quote-unquote exotic places. So when he goes on vacations and stuff, he likes to go off-road. Related to that, he has survival too, because he's a hiker and a climber. He does rock climbing. Of course he does. And does he find ways to mention it in casual conversation? Yes, naturally. And finally, he's got 3 points in blind fighting, because he does this kung fu exercise at his kung fu school that he attends, his highly authentic and expensive kung fu school, where every day he gets there before anyone else, dons a blindfold, and all of the Chinese students gradually arrive in the morning and unmercifully attack him with sticks while he's blindfolded as part of his training. As a result, he's become quite good at avoiding attacks while blind. His sifu assures him that after several more years of this training, he will be unstoppable. Finally, for talents, we've got only 4 points. I'm going to put 3 in alertness. He is, whatever else he might be, very perceptive and alert about things, not people. He has never noticed what another person thinks about him to his great benefit. And then there's 1 more point here, and I'm going to put it in intimidation just because there is an outside chance that at some point he could run a pretty weak bluff against somebody who thinks he's a real badass kung fu master. He does look jacked. He does speak a little Chinese. He does know how to get into a stance, and he obviously thinks he can do fucking anything. So there's just a possibility that someday he might have to, I don't know, intimidate a group of rowdy school children, and they'll think, oh, watch out, that guy knows kung fu. We've already established some backgrounds for Kane, so as we go on to backgrounds now, we've already got some things accounted for. First of all, we've got 2 dots of manager. I think Kane is the kind of guy who sought representation as soon as he took his first kung fu lesson. He's the kind of guy who, if he were a writer, he would be vanity published and he would exchange a lot of meaningful correspondence about his prose style with his vanity publisher. Manager 2 means an average manager. I prefer to think that in this case, he signed with a pretty big, mainstream, accessible, fairly exploitative Street Fighter representation agency. They're fully prepared to get behind him and be competent if he starts to be effective. But for right now, they don't see him as a star. And so they're content to book him wherever, send him places to curry favor with promoters, take their 10% or whatever, and just kind of let him languish. But they talk a good game. They take his calls. They treat him like a star. That's enough for him. Once he becomes a world warrior, obviously this situation is going to change, and he is going to be trotted around the world like a hapless boy band making other people a lot of money, if and when he becomes a world warrior. He's got resources 2, that's middle class. Finally, he's got sensei 1. The sensei background is kind of an interesting one because for each dot of sensei, it gives you 2 options for the quality of your sensei, and you could take the higher option for quality if your sensei is kind of inaccessible. So in this case, with 1 dot of sensei, I can either have an average sensei, who I can talk to whenever, or an above average sensei, who is very much removed from the modern world, it says. I'm taking a sifu here, who is not really removed from the modern world, but is certainly removed from one Kane cruise. This guy has taken Kane's money, taught him some basic moves, lets him come in and get blindfolded and beaten up because he seems to love it so much, but really has no interest in teaching Kane Cruz any more kung fu. He might be plied with money or whining to teach Kane a new maneuver, but he won't do it willingly. So despite the fact that he's pretty good at kung fu, he's not the most useful of sifus. But Kane does get to take dramatic Instagram pictures outside the kung fu school, so the value proposition is there for him. Next comes techniques. We haven't really done a focus character yet, and that is what Kane Cruz is all about. He loves to meditate. He loves to go commune with nature and have peak experiences. Kane Cruz loves nothing more than to sit down on his day off with a koan and mull it over and get up about 3 p.m. and say, I got it. I nailed it. I solved that koan. Now it's time for a sensible dinner of brown rice and protein shake to nourish my body as well as my mind. So I'm going to go all in on focus. He's got 3 dots of focus. He is all about that spiritual fighting technique. I'm going to make him a bit of an all-arounder on these other techniques, 1 dot in each, which means that he can do simple attacks and tricks from all the various branches of fighting. Kicks, punches, grabs. Nothing really spectacular, but he certainly impresses himself. And his focus is strong at three dots. Now we move on to special maneuvers. This is a place that has a potential to trip you up if you're making a, sort of a joke character like Kane Cruz. Unlike in, let's say, werewolf or vampire in the World of Darkness, where the template itself has certain powers inherent in it, but you can play a vampire who's garbage. You can play a werewolf who's a little pathetic. They can still beat up a regular person just because of their innate abilities, but you can definitely make them a loser. It's hard to make a street fighter who's just a loser because they all have special maneuvers, which presumably are special abilities that they trained and struggled to master, and they are impressive skills that the characters developed. If you can do a flash kick like Guile, you're not lazy, right? If you can do a dragon punch, you're doing something right in your life. At least that's the credo I live by. So how do we make Kane Cruz the fucking chump that he needs to be? The answer, fortunately, comes to us in Bill's pick from the dumb character generation options draft. And that option comes to us from a throwaway line on page 102 of the Street Fighter Core book under the heading Common Moves. This is about special maneuvers that are not specific to a style that anyone can take. It says, quote, "Many of these common moves are simply new punches, kicks, or blocks. However, some are the freakish and unexpected supernatural powers demonstrated by many of the world warriors. If your character wishes to purchase one of these powers, you need to make certain that you have a good reason for it, like Guile's sonic accident. Many of these so-called, quote, superpowers are what give otherwise average street fighters the edge they need in combat." So it comes out at last. Sure, some of these people have achieved enlightenment. However, sometimes a motherfucker just got bit by a radioactive sonic boom, and now we can throw sonic booms. These are superpowers. Some of these maneuvers are straight up superpowers, and that's what happened to our boy Kane Cruz. As Bill suggested, possibly it was just because of pollution, something that one might run across if he's on a tour of places nobody else wants to visit in China. You might run into some pollution there, and Street Fighter being what it is, you might get superpowers. So now here I am on page 103 of the Street Fighter Core Book, looking at the extremely helpful sublist of all the special maneuvers that are available to any style. I'm looking at the focus maneuvers I can buy. Taking in all the various options here, I think I'm going to go with Acid Breath. Acid Breath is an expensive maneuver. No style gets a discount on it. It's just a straight up weird power. In fact, I read from the description, quote, "A foul power that only a few loathsome street fighters have developed. Fighters using Acid Breath are able to churn their gastric acid into a highly toxic mixture, which they then vomit forth from their mouths in a projectile spray at any nearby opponent." It goes on to say, quote, "Some believe the Acid Breath is a mutant power that only a few unique individuals possess. Other fighters believe that fighters who have mastered Acid Breath use their chi to alter their stomach's natural acid into a highly potent chemical weapon." Which doesn't seem like a thing that an enlightened monk would do. It seems like a thing a freaky mutant would do. So I subscribe to the former hypothesis, and in fact, I am making that hypothesis into fact by GM Fiat. Kane Cruz has Acid Breath, and he thinks he got it from studying snake-style kung fu, but he actually got it from horrible pollution. In fact, let's see if Wikipedia can help me out with a polluted site in China. Looking up pollution in China leads me to a performance artist called Brother Nut on Wikipedia. He is a performance artist from Beijing. He did a couple of pieces about pollution in China. One of them, which looks pretty interesting, was called, quote, Project Dust, which is where he created a brick entirely from particulate matter vacuumed out of the air in Beijing. He did another one just last year called Nongfu Spring Market, in which he, quote, exhibited 9,000 bottles of polluted water from the village of Zhaohaotu in Shaanxi. I have no idea how to pronounce these words, not even a guess. However, he bottled 9,000 bottles of polluted water and displayed them. Here's what I think happened. I think our friend Kane Cruz went to the source, went to the village after seeing this display, and drank from a well or something there in an act of trust and solidarity in the spirit of the land, and soon discovered that he'd reached the next level of snake-style kung fu and now had horrific acid reflux that he could spit forth at will in a horrid sizzling spray. In fact, now that I think back on it, I did see a snake that day, but it was moving quickly through the grass. It could have been a small dog. So that accounts for four of his seven special maneuver points right there, Acid Breath. He's got three more to spend, and I suppose that I'd better buy him some kung fu. But these are going to be pretty basic. This is one time when one of my peeves about this game, which is that it charges you for moves that everybody gets automatically in the video game. This comes to my benefit because I want this guy to be a pretty basic kung fu artist, so I can buy him a lot of these simple moves. For example, I'm going to give him power uppercut, which is just like a regular uppercut. It's not like a dragon uppercut. It's just like a regular person uppercut. The only thing is you can knock people out of the air when they're jumping with it. I'm going to give him throw, another basic move that you do have to pay for. And I'm going to give him jump. Not all the fighters we've done in the series have jump, so not all of them can jump like a Street Fighter character can jump. But by God, Kane Cruz can do it, because he's no damn good at kung fu, and he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about, but he does work out. Did I mention he works out? Next up, we've got Renown. I'm going to go with Glory 2, Honor 1. It's important that he have some honor, because you use that to restore your chi. You use chi to puke acid on people, and puking acid on people is his only good move. Thus is virtue rewarded. Chi and willpower, of course, come straight from kung fu, and now it's time to spend some freebies. I saw something when I was looking for special maneuvers that I want, and I'm channeling Kane here. I'm not getting this because I, Chris, the podcaster, think it's a good idea. I'm doing it because I'm really getting into the mindset of Kane Cruz here. I'm imagining that I'm him, looking through this catalog of kung fu badassery, and I saw that he's missing a move called Kip Up. Now, Kip Up only costs 1 point, but it requires athletics too, which Kane doesn't have. What Kip Up does basically is when somebody knocks you down with a move, like Marie's pet husky that can tackle somebody and knock them down, the Kip Up prevents you from losing speed from being knocked down because you can just pop right back up. It's not a super useful move. It's kind of useful, but, you know, there may be better ways to spend your point. However, I think Kane Cruz definitely wants to Kip Up, so I'm going to get that second dot of athletics for 5 points. And for another 7 points, I'm going to buy Kip Up. Now, I'm paying a lot for this. I'm paying a total of 12 points of my 15 freebie points to get this, which means Kane does this all the time. Sometimes he doesn't even really get knocked down, but he kind of leans into it to fall over just so he can Kip Up. It's his favorite move. He hisses after he does it too, because he goes into snake style pose, heedless of the fact that snakes do not Kip Up. I've got 3 points left, and I'm going to go ahead and spend them all on chi. Once again, this guy's only got one good move, so I'm going to bring that chi all the way up to 7. And I'm not saying he's truly enlightened. I'm saying this motherfucker gets so much acupuncture, his chakras are so aligned, and his dragon lines are dragging so hard. If he holds a balloon while he does tai chi, it just spontaneously inflates. That's how much chi is coursing through this guy's body. He does shiatsu massage every day and twice on Sundays. So that's why he's got a ton of chi, which he can use to power his stomach acid. Because despite the protestations of his various masseuses and acupuncturists, he won't believe that his stomach is sick and he needs to see a doctor. I think we understand who Kane is at this point, but nonetheless, we got to deal with the formalities, get a few more features under our belts. His appearance, lustrous Steven Seagal ponytail, no doubt, right? You knew it, I knew it, everybody knew it as soon as we heard about China Dude. I do think he has a little pointy beard. I don't think he has a mustache. I don't think he does the Fu Manchu. I'll say, in the 90s, yes. In 2019, I think even China Dude understands that the Fu Manchu stereotype is offensive. He doesn't have the self-awareness to realize that the little pointy beard is ridiculous. But I think when we're talking about obnoxious white guys, and look, I consider myself somewhat of an expert, in the 90s, it's clueless racism. But that's out now. That's passé. What's in now is obnoxious fakey wokeness. And I think that a lot of uncomfortable commentary about how he doesn't participate in exoticizing the East. He lives it. He's so ashamed of the American yellow peril stereotypes. He's so ashamed of the 1980s when everyone was afraid of the Japanese. He always found it so stupid when people would talk about martial arts movies like they were just action movies, when he could see that they represented such a beautiful and ancient culture that he had to go and visit. And that's why he initially got into anime before he found his real calling as basically an authentic Chinese person. I think that's where dumbass white guys are at right now in the year 2019. So for that reason, I'm going to go with just the pointy beard and no mustache. We know that he's got a Chinese character tattooed somewhere on his body. It may or may not mean what he thinks it means. I am no expert on Chinese characters, and I cannot become one on Wikipedia, so I don't know what this character is. I'm open to suggestions from listeners. In any case, it's on the rear of his right shoulder, and he buys all of his workout clothes cut in such a way that it's visible. Other than that, fighting attire, my initial inclination is to go for like the kung fu shoes, the simple pants, the no shirt look, but I don't think that's distinctive enough, especially when you've got Fei Long, who's also a kung fu guy who also dresses that way. So I think I'm going to go to the other extreme and have him with a special, custom-made, expensive robe that is sort of a fanciful version of what he would imagine a Shaolin monk to wear. Like, think of real cowboy clothes and then what Marty McFly wears. There's real monk robes and then there's this. That's what I'm talking about. Very ornate, like on the cuffs of the sleeves, a little impractical. I don't think he has any equipment. He prefers to live a very simple life, except he has a little Tupperware he carries everywhere that has his meals for the day, because he's got to stop every 2 hours or whatever and eat like a chicken breast and brown rice or like steel cut oats in the morning. He's a workout guy, so he's got to carry that stuff around. And he's got to carry the Tupperware, but he doesn't want to carry a backpack because that ruins the aesthetic. So I think he has like a messenger bag, but it's got patches on it with the flags of countries he's been to. He's got plenty of quirks, but I'm going to add in another one, which is that he meditates, and sometimes he wants to meditate in particular places, like he's a stop the car, I have to meditate here guy. Finally, for signature, for victory pose, I don't think he celebrates. I think he focuses his will, because the victory is not important, but the way that we embrace the victory. And so when he wins, big, deep bow, big, deep. Oh, it's the deepest bow that he's capable of. And he does squats. Did I mention that he works out? But then he comes back up from it. You think he's never going to come back up, but he does. And then with his hands still like, steepled in front of him, he just deep breaths. He breathes like the whole world is watching. Like, I'm extremely non-attached and I need all of you to know that. So there we have it. Not the world's most effective martial artist, but he is a China dude. I think you have to give me that. Speaking of giving me that, let's see if Bill does. What does Bill think about the China dude that I came up with based on his prompt?
Okay, I cannot say that Kane Cruz turned out to be perfect, because he is much better than the original idea. It's amazing. It's so annoying, so obnoxious. I kind of wish he was a real person just so I could spend all of my time avoiding him. So it is definitely impressive. Probably the best thing I've been involved with in my life. I'll have to say the grade is going to be an A+. So thanks. That was amazing. And oh, happy birthday.
That last voice that you heard was added to the recording by Bill's wife so that I could hear happy birthday properly in Chinese. And I appreciate it. Karmically, it feels good, maybe even necessary, that this episode end with an actual Chinese person correcting us. That's it for today. Join me tomorrow as a challenger appears on MDC's Wiki World Warriors. Wiki World Warriors is a Mega Dumbcast miniseries made possible by listeners like you, who contribute to the show on Patreon. A new episode will drop every day except for Sunday until all 12 World Warriors have been revealed. If you'd like to contribute to Mega Dumbcast, and you'd like access to a special RSS feed of MDC Megasodes to help you binge the show's back catalog, sign up at patreon.com/megadumbcast. I am Mega Dumbcast on Gmail, Podbean, Twitter, and Instagram. The Street Fighter RPG is by White Wolf, and the Street Fighter franchise, including all associated trademarks, is property of Capcom. This episode's music, used under a Creative Commons license, is Fire Darer by Saw Square Noise. Find more music at n.sawsquarenoise.com. That's en.sawsquarenoise.com. This episode is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial share-alike license. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time. Now go home and be a family man.